John 16. So turn there. And we've read this a couple times already, but we'll read it again. And we'll take a different angle than the first two messages, obviously. The Lord made the Bible for preaching, among other things. And He actually gave a nice little three-point outline that I have turned into three sermons rather than just one sermon. It would have been a long sermon if we'd have done just one. So broke it up into three. So start down there in John 16. Let's start in verse 7, and we'll go down to verse 11. So 16:7, words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of, the first thing, sin. And of, second thing, righteousness. And of, number three, judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So 2 weeks ago we hit verse 9 about the Comforter reproving of sin. And just a reminder, the greatest sin is really a sin of omission. And what is it? Not believing on Jesus Christ. Isn't that what takes a person to hell? Not believing. Verse 10 was last week. Righteousness. Jesus Christ. Righteousness embodied. And he was here, but he's not here. So the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, we've looked at that, reproves the world of righteousness. It shows the world that none of us are righteous. Only Jesus Christ is righteous. We need his righteousness in order to be saved. And then the last one here, judgment, verse 11. And I will tell you, this one tripped me up. And when I first started this series, I thought, that last one's going to be kind of tough. And it's really neat how the Lord just gives you in time some help with the scriptures. So last thing, verse 11, let's read it again. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We oftentimes think that the Holy Spirit convicts people that they're going to hell. And amen that he does that. Anybody here saved because you're afraid of going to hell? Some saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some saved with compassion. And that, I could talk about that, but that's actually not the context there. The judgment, notice in verse 11, who is being judged in verse 11? It's not the sinner. Who is it? It's the devil, yes. So I will try to connect what this is all about in connection with the work of the Holy Ghost on people in the world. So we'll just pray that the Lord helps all of us tonight with getting a grasp on this. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come before you again asking you for help because we need it. We need it so that we can understand these scriptures, so that we can have an understanding that makes it so that we can apply them. And we're asking for you to do that tonight in the hearts of all of us. Make the scriptures clear to us. Make it so that we all see things about ourselves as a result of looking at the scriptures and seeing how we fall short. May we all be willing to receive reproof tonight if that's what you have for us. And we just pray that spiritual work be done. I pray that there be no distractions as we talk about our enemy. I just pray that the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted and that you would just really give us a focus on what we need to learn here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the Comforter reveals that there is impending judgment upon the prince of this world. So if you take a look at verse 11, the work of the Comforter is to reprove the world of judgment. But what's that got to do with the prince of this world being judged? Well, before we get into this, let's make sure that we know for certain who the prince of this world is. So I'll give you this first point. This first point is the prince. So go to John 14, the prince of this world. Just back a chapter, a couple verses here in John. The prince of this world, who is that? 14, go down there to 29. 14:29, again, words of Jesus Christ. He says, and now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So you know that the prince of this world is in direct opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John 12. John 12. And again, I think we all know who the prince is, the prince of this world. But let's just make sure we get scriptures on it. John 12. Look at verse 31. John 12, 31. Words of Jesus again. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, I think that's a telling verse there. You put the verses together. Now's the judgment of this world, and then the prince of this world shall be cast out. So here's the thing. An unsaved person is satanically inspired, and they don't even know it. You ever thought about that? People who are not saved are being run by the devil, and they don't realize it. Now, I got saved as a little boy. We got folks in here that got saved later on in life. Do you realize, before I was a little boy, if you were an adult when you got saved, or before I was a little boy, before I got saved as a little boy, yeah. And if you got saved as an adult, there was a time when somebody was running your life and you didn't even know it. You say, I wasn't possessed by the devil. I didn't say you were possessed by the devil. You know that you don't have to be possessed to be heavily, heavily influenced by the devil. The devil can have an influence on you and get you to do some things without possessing. Now, I think possessing is a different level of influence, obviously. But there's great influence that the devil can have in getting you to do certain things without being possessed. And by the way, he can also influence you now that you're saved. And that's why you can be as saved as can be and still do some really foolish things if you're not walking with God. And you can go the way... Aren't you seeing this with some churches? I think there's churches that have their saved people in them. And they're well-meaning, but they're not following the Scriptures when it comes to where the church is headed. And if you're not following the Scriptures, somebody else is going to get you to follow them. And the devil's all about getting church people off the right path. Does quite a job at that. Remember, he's subtle. First thing about him in Genesis 3, he's subtle. And a lot of folks, a lot of saved people think, oh, this is okay. And it's not. Because the devil and his subtlety has convinced them that something is okay when they ought to get as far away from it as they possibly can. But if you're out of the Scriptures, you're not getting the light that you need in your life, you end up just getting a little closer to the darkness. So watch out on that. That's a warning for all of us. Now, real quick, the prince of this world, that's the devil, little p. Did you know there's a greater prince? Let's look at that real quick. You're in John, go to Acts. Acts chapter 3. I'm just trying to kick us off here so that we all understand there is a battle going on between two princes. And you are going to align yourself with one or the other. And even if you're saved, you got to be careful that you're not going along with the prince of this world. And I'll show you some things about that here in a minute. But let's just get this thing about the prince first. Acts chapter 3. Acts 3:13, this is Peter. Some powerful preaching here. Look what he says here. 3:13, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Verse 15, and killed the prince. You got a capital P there? The prince of life. Who could that be? Context, it's Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Just, the Prince of Life. It says, hath killed the Prince of Life. But watch the rest of it. Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Hey, the Prince with the capital P did something miraculous. He defeated death. You figure the devil had all these years, thousands of years go by where men sin, men die. Men sin, men die. And then one comes along who never sinned, yet he died. But that wasn't the end of him, was it? He rose from the dead. What a great thing that is. Go to Acts chapter 5 and you'll see this again. Just trying to contrast the prince of this world with the prince. capital P prince. Acts chapter 5. Look down there, verse 30. Peter again. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a, you got a capital P there? To be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Have you experienced that forgiveness of sins? Through the prince with the capital P. Amen. So both princes, the prince of this world and the prince of life, Jesus Christ, both of them have much power in the spiritual realm. But one has more power than the other. The capital P prince has more power. Now, why would anybody want to be on the side of a loser with the little p prince? But so many people are blinded and they don't recognize they're on the path of the loser. So let me show you that here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There's the prince of this world and there's the capital P prince. They both have a lot of power, but one has much more than the other. The capital P prince has more power. 6:10. Take a look at the wording here. You might not have connected these things before, so it's pretty neat. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, what's that next word? Principalities. By the way, there's a place where Michael the archangel is called a prince. Now, he's not the prince because he's not Jesus Christ. But do you understand there are spiritual powers and they are assigned names associated with royalty? There's the prince of this world. There's the capital P prince, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, he's also got another name of royalty. What is that? The king, as in the king of kings. You see, there are other kings with a little K. And I really believe when you get into the high places of government, and I get this from Daniel. You study Daniel, you get this. When you go up into the high positions of government, you've got people that are big time under control of principalities and powers, spiritual powers. Because think about it, folks. If you want to influence an entire nation, get the person at the top of the nation. Because they're going to lead the way for the rest of the nation, aren't they? Now, thank the Lord we live in a country that we can have our own opinions contrary to our leaders. Amen to that, by the way. Because you're living in a if you were living in a communist country, you're not there yet. If you were living in a communist country, you would be so blinded thinking that this is the only way that there is because you were brought up in school thinking it was okay. And then you're just going the way of the leader, thinking everything's okay. I mean, my country's providing everything I could possibly need, and it's free. What a great thing. No, not a great thing, because in our country, our country's not supposed to be providing everything for you, because it's supposed to be a free society where you can earn as little or as much as you want, depending on how hard you want to work, really. And our country, we have the freedom. That's why God has used America so much, I believe, over history, is because there's a people in America that don't have to go the way of the guy at the top. And we've been able to choose not to if we had a guy at the top that wasn't going the way of the Lord. But you got to figure, a lot of countries around the world that are communist or even socialist countries, they're just going the way of the leader thinking, oh, this is the best way. But the devil gets in the hearts and minds of those leaders and he just trickles down to the common man. So pretty interesting there with the principalities and powers. Read the rest of the verse. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Now watch this. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against what kind of wickedness? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Very interesting. So the devil is into spiritual work, but the Lord Jesus Christ is too. Who has more power, folks? You know the answer to this. The Lord Jesus Christ. But you have people that are going the way of the devil, and they don't even realize it. And what is the end of the devil, folks? According to John 16, one day he will be judged. So here's the deal. The world aligns themselves with the devil without knowing it. And if they don't get the truth, don't receive the truth, they will go the way that the devil goes. Where does he end up? We're going to get to this at the end of the message. Where does the devil end up? He ends up in the lake of fire. Where will people who reject Jesus Christ end up? Same place. So what I'm telling you is there are people in our world right now that are going the way of the devil and they don't realize it. So let's look at that. There's the thing about the prince. Number two, let's talk about the program. You're in Ephesians. Go to chapter 2. The program of this world. The prince and now the program. Oh, and he has a program. So let's look at this. Now this is part of the message that will hopefully be very, very practical. So you want to really get some things here. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. By the way, do you identify with that verse? If you're saved right now, you are quickened. You are no longer dead. Amen? If you noticed in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about Moses. And Moses died, didn't he? But then he shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration as if he's alive as can be. When I first started coming here, when Sharon and I first started coming here, right down here sat Charles and Sue Denman. They are not here right now, but they are alive. Isn't that something? In fact, they know way more than we do. And they are experiencing life unlike you and I know it. It's actually really good for them right now. You can say the same thing about some other folks, Ms. Pat, Nancy Hardy. I was thinking about it just this week a few times. We picked up Nancy to come to church there for those last few months. And man, she would have some questions that stumped me. I did not have an answer. She'd ask me all these Bible questions. I don't know. And I would say, now, I think it might be like this. She knows some of those answers now. I guess you know all those answers, I would assume. And she's got a clear, she sees things clearer than we ever could down here. Hey, I know we miss them, but they sure got it better than we do, don't we? Something? All right, Ephesians 2. Look at verse 2. Now let's talk about the here and now. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to, now watch the wording, according to the course of this world. According to the what? The prince of the power of all things, of the what? Of the air. Now, watch, this verse is just loaded. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I tell you what, that verse right there, verse 2, explains the state of the world today. Why the world is the way it is right at this moment. This thing is loaded, so take a look at it. He says, if you're saved, there was a time where you did walk according to the course of this world. So the world has a course. You ever go on an obstacle course? Or you ran a 5K, I know you ladies run the races. There's always a race course, right? And you can't get off the course. Do you know? Well, I mean, I guess you could, but you wouldn't do very well in the race. There's a laid out course for this world. Do you know where the course ends? The course of this world ends in the same place the devil ends. Where's that? You mentioned it, Brother Paul. Lake of fire. The world's course ends there. Now, along the way, here's what the devil does. The devil dazzles people along the way thinking, man, this course is really cool. This course is great. This is fun. But where does it end up? It ends up in a lake of fire. What's the devil's ministry? The devil's ministry is one of deception. Making people think, oh, things are great, when things are not. So, go on here. The course of this world, watch this part, according to the prince of the power of the what? I've said it many times, but it just bears repeating. When I was a kid, we had TV and radio. And I got to work at a radio station doing some marketing for a really short period of time, and I was fascinated with all the ins and outs of the radio station. They had this giant tower that went way up in the air so that it could communicate with other towers way up in the air. You know that the little device you probably have in your pocket or in your purse? It operates because of towers. It talks to towers that are way up there in the air, soon to be changed over to something much higher than that. satellites that are way up there in the air. You know, satellite phone will be a reality here very soon. Whether you like it or not, your phone will probably run by satellite instead of cell phone tower. And they'll tell you how great, how much better it's going to be, how much faster it's going to be. Isn't that something? There's some kind of thing going on up there. So back to the radio station. They would say, we are now on the air. What's playing on the airwaves today? You hear these things, something like that before? Well, let me tell you about a few things, and we could spend a long time on this. Let me just spend a little bit of time, and I'm going to talk about some worldly things here. I know I myself, I've got to be careful here, but I'm trying to show you that the world has a program, and the devil runs it. And he uses the airwaves to get his point across. He uses the airwaves to get people to stay on his course. Last part of that verse, before I show you these things, last part of that verse, it says, Prince of the power of the air, and then it says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's a course and there's a spirit that's run by the devil. And I don't know if you remember a while back here, we did this message on spirits and words. And there's great power in words, and spirits use words to get their message across. How did God get His message across, folks? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Words, right here. So words are powerful. Words are often associated with spirits. So, unfortunately, I speak about this, not proud, but unfortunately, I spent some of my life when I was a teenager and into my 20s listening to some pretty no-good music. And I would love to purge that music out of my head, my heart. But you ever notice how, what do they do on the radio, on the airwaves? They play the same junk over and over and over again. Why? So that it will stay in your mind. So let me just give you some examples. I'm showing you practical examples that the devil has a course, and there's something associated with the airwaves and the course that he is trying to get people on. So back in the 80s, you had some music groups that were really into some satanic stuff. So a band called Van Halen had a great guitar player, a supposed great guitar player, Eddie Van Halen. They had a song called Running with the Devil. A band called Motley Crue back in the 80s. They looked like women, but they were men. Remember these 80s hair bands with the makeup and all? They just looked just like a bunch of women. Kind of looked like maybe some devils, but they were supposedly men. They had a song called Shout at the Devil. And there was, when I was in sixth grade, they were really, really big. And a bunch of the kids I went to school with were into Motley Crue. And they have, if you look on their album from back then, they got pentagrams all over the album. And they had a song there that was about, actually it was in this song, Shout of the Devil, there was a portion there where the music was playing and a guy was talking. And I can't remember all the stuff, but thank the Lord I can't remember all that, but they had a whole thing about the beast in that little interlude in that song. Well, who's the beast in your Bible? It's the Antichrist. So you see how there's that influence there. There was another band back in the 80s called NXS. And they had a song called Devil Inside. And over in that song, they would say, quote, every single one of us, the devil inside, end quote. And over and over. That was the main thing in the song. Somebody influencing these guys and ladies? I think so. There was a band called, of all things, just these names of these bands, Judas Priest. Big time rock and roll band back in the 70s, 80s. Devil's Child. They had a name, someone in their songs called Devil's Child. Megadeth. Another band. Megadeth. You see these bands associated with Satan and death? They had a song called Devil's Island. The Rolling Stones had a song called Sympathy for the Devil. And in the song, it's the devil talking, trying to get you to sympathize with how he was mistreated, being cast out of heaven. You should have no sympathy for the devil, by the way. None. Charlie Daniels had a big one. I bet some of you know that one. The devil went down to Georgia. About the devil being a fiddle player. I tell you what, very interesting. The AC/DC had a song called Highway to Hell. still to this day, that's probably 30 years old or more, still very popular song. And the song goes along the ways it says, we're on the highway to hell. The course of this world is the highway to hell. Are you hearing this? The devil has great influence in the world of music. And I'll get to some stuff here in a minute. I don't have a lot of time for it, but also in the world of movies. One of the most influential things that the devil uses to get in the hearts and minds of not just kids, but adults, is music and movies. Big time uses that. A couple more here. Ozzy Osbourne had a song called Mr. Crowley. You know who Crowley is? Don, you know Aleister Crowley. British occultist. You know what he called himself? The Beast 666. He called himself that. Now, he wasn't, but he probably was greatly influenced or possessed. Jimmy Page, who was in the band Led Zeppelin, he had a solo career. He had a song called Lucifer Rising. Very popular song. The kids today even know this song, even though it's back from the 80s, called Bohemian Rhapsody by a band called Queen. There's a line in that song that says, quote, Beelzebub has put a devil aside for me, end quote. Now, Beelzebub is in your Bible. Did you know that? And he's associated with the devil himself. So, Prince of the Devils, Beelzebub. So, I could go on here, but I think that's... Is that enough? Can we move on? Thank you. Yes, I'm moving on here. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. How is this... Why is it like this? 2 Corinthians 4 is going to tell you. By the way, I'm thankful that I'm not near familiar with a lot of the new stuff because I'm just not into that scene anymore. I wish I wasn't familiar with a lot of that. But if I was to dig into the new stuff, the same stuff is there, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. There's one thing I'll show you later on about music that I kind of got wind of going through this, but I'll get to that here in a minute. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 3, actually. Again, these are verses you probably know, but let's look at it in relation to the course, the program that the devil has for this world. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? Talking about the lost. The God of this world. Little g, right? The God of this world. What's he done? Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, you do any witnessing? You know this is true, don't you? People are blinded to the truth because they're on the course of this world that is run by the devil. So go on here. It says, them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then it goes on there, next verse, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You know what this world needs? Preaching of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ so they can be turned from darkness to light. And again, folks don't realize they're walking in darkness. But anybody who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is truly walking in darkness. Just going with the flow of this world, which is run by the devil. Okay, so the devil's ministry. We saw over there in Ephesians, it's got something to do with the air. Well, let's take a look at something, though. Go to Revelation 12. There's coming a day, folks, where the location of his ministry will actually change. He's going to change location. So look at Revelation 12. Go down there to verse 9. Actually, back up here, you get a little bit of what's going on in the heavens here. Look at verse 7. 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against who? And we'll say a few things about the dragon here in a minute. The dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Now, that verse right there, verse 7, first part of verse 8, who's more powerful? Those on the Lord's side or on the devil's side? The Lord's side, amen. So it says there, prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, well, where is he going? Well, go down there to verse 12. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come where? Down unto you, having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath, how long? But a short time. Folks, the devil's ministry in the tribulation is down here. There was a time where God in the flesh was on the earth. He's no longer here. He's coming back. There's a time where Satan in the flesh will walk the earth. Did you know that? That's the program. That's the ministry of the Antichrist. So he runs things from up there now. And man, there's great influence, isn't there? Just look at the last 2 years, the power of something like social media, which all through the air, right? The power of that to influence people to do things that you got to be out of your mind. Nothing wrong with wearing a mask. You want to wear a mask, fine. But do you really need to wear three or four? And people were doing that. And if social media had come out and the news had come out and said, wear the mask on top of your head and you'll be safe from COVID, people would have done it. Because that's the power of this thing. So what I'm saying is the devil runs this world. He's got this world on a course, and he uses the airwaves. Now, again, I'm not saying bad things. It's not only bad things on the radio, the TV, and the internet, but you sure got to be careful, don't you? Because if he's the prince of the power of the air, he seeks to own it, and he's got a lot of it. But we got something more powerful, right? It's interesting, Brother Paul, you said what you did before church. Brother Paul mentioned that there was a day when television came out, and television could have been used greatly by God. And it actually has to some degree. You had some TV preachers there for a while that were good. But then did you notice, he mentioned a couple, the TV preachers got in all kinds of trouble. It's like a common theme. If you're a TV preacher, here it comes. You're going to fall into some kind of sin. The whole world's going to know what a fool you are, because here you were all over the TV, and now the news has got you all over the place because you did something really foolish. So I think that right there goes to show you the devil's out to even get folks that are trying to do something good on the TV, on the internet, on the air. I mean, Brother Bob could tell you stories about stuff with the internet here and how wacky it acts. It's okay all during the week, and then church time, it goes wacko. So just something about that in the air. All right, let's get to this last thing here. Notice there, go back to verse 9. So we had the prince, we got the program. I'll give you the last thing here, but I want to kick it off at verse 9. Verse 9, it mentions four different names for one individual. You want to see this? Let's look at it again. 12:9, and the great dragon, so there's one, was cast out, that old serpent, there's two, called the devil and Satan. Do you see four titles there? That's one individual. It's not four different individuals. It's one individual. Y'all see that? Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. He showed up in the garden as the serpent. But you see, he can actually take on some different forms here. Like I was saying, in tribulation, he will appear as a man. Great deception here, because that's his ministry. So I want to talk about this thing before we get to this last point about this program that the devil has the world on. The first title in verse 9 is Dragon. Y'all see that? I looked up dragons to see what I could find on the airwaves about dragons on the internet. And here's what I found. You got to watch out about what you find out there. Dragons are powerful, mythical creatures, typically depicted as gigantic flying serpents or other reptiles with magical, spiritual, or supernatural qualities. Now, there's some truth there. But there's also something that I see that is big time wrong. Dragons are powerful, mythical creatures. I can't tell you about dragons, plural. I do know for certain, because what we just read, there is a powerful dragon. And if one dragon is powerful and he's evil, chances are any other dragons would be the same way, right? So the world has really pulled one over. And again, the world run by the devil, he's really pulled one over on the world. What do you got about, 50, 60 miles away from here? You got a magical place. It's such a magical place. And people go there by the millions every year to the Magic Kingdom. And it's really interesting. If you pull up, if you were to search out Mickey Mouse in the Magic Kingdom, you know what you'll get a picture of? You get a picture of Mickey. And he's got a wizard's hat on and a magic wand. Now, most people look at that and say, isn't that cute? Because Mickey Mouse is supposed to be cute, right? Supposed to be funny. Supposed to be Disney. And you see how there's something very, very subtle. Now, somebody who may be here or may be listening is sitting here hearing this right now, and they're going, "You got to be kidding me. Really?" Well, let me tell you, when I was a kid, my sister and I would watch things, and my dad would come in the room. He'd watch less than 5 minutes and point out all kinds of stuff associated with the occult or wizardry or magic and say, "That's wrong." And then he would walk out of the room. My sister and I look at each other and laugh. We're like, "What's wrong with him?" Dad knew a thing or two about the truth. He knew his Bible. And now I look back. You ever notice, and all the, this is one thing he pointed out. This is just kind of interesting. I don't really know what to make of it. He used to point out to me that in cartoons, now we're talking about 80s cartoons, way back. In cartoons, most of the animals are unclean animals in the Bible. I don't think that's a coincidence. Isn't that interesting? Most of them are. Porky Pig, come on. Right? Pig, unclean animal. Isn't that something? Okay, here's something that was back in the 80s, and it used to be preached on regularly in evangelical churches, and I did not know this until a couple weeks ago. It's back, and it's back big. Board game, Dungeons and Dragons. I thought that was all far gone. I thought they moved on to something else. It's still around, and teenagers still play it. The Orlando Magic, basketball team, right? They had to call it the Magic because they had associated with what goes on in Orlando. Okay, that's cute, right? You can think whatever you want of it. They have a mascot. You know what his name is? Stuff. The Magic Dragon. And he's cute because dragons are supposed to be cute, right? Movie in recent years about a cute little dragon. How to Train Your Dragon. Cute little dragon. Now listen. You understand, if the devil is a dragon, now I didn't make this up, folks. You call me crazy, but I'm just a Bible believer. I know I'm among Bible believers, but a lot of folks think this is crazy. Verse 9 says the dragon is the devil. Are you seeing that real clear? So the program of this world, it would make perfect sense for the devil to use a dragon and make people, deceive people into thinking, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with a dragon." Okay? Popular music group. This is a modern day music group. Imagine Dragons. Images in your Bible are not good, are they? And imaginations in your Bible are not good. So you put that together. Imagine Dragons. That can't be good. Back in the 80s, there was a movie called The Never Ending Story. And there was a friendly dragon way back then. One of the first friendly dragons that I remember. His name was Falcor. You watch that movie, you're like, "Oh, that dragon's so cute and he's so smart. Leads this little boy on this incredible journey." Folks, I'm just showing you, there's all these things associated with dragons because the devil is out to deceive and get people on his course. So one day they'll see it. If they reject it now, one day they'll see it and it'll be too late. But folks, anything associated with dragons and wizardry in your Bible is no good. It's not. The devil's program is deception. To keep people from the truth. And the last thing I'll give you here, go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. And this last thing has to do with, we had the prince, we had the program. Here's the last thing. We'll kind of end on a good note here. There are prophecies concerning this prince who seeks to run the world. Prophecies, and they're prophecies about his destruction and end. So look at Isaiah 14. Now, if you've been to church a while, you know these verses. Let's take a look at them, though, again. Look at Isaiah 14, 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O who? Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Watch this. "Yet thou shalt be brought down," where? "To hell." This is prophecy about the end of Satan, where he ends up. To hell, to the sides of the pit. Look at verse 16. "They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man?" I find that wording very interesting. Is this the man? Who's being talked about here? Lucifer, the devil. What does it call him there in verse 16? I think that's a prophecy of his ministry in the tribulation. Is this the man? Because he will appear as a man. The man that did make the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoner of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. Very interesting there about Jesus Christ is called the capital B branch in over in Isaiah and Jeremiah. He's called the abominable branch, contrasting branch. It says, abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. So I show you all that because I want to show you there's a prophecy, and I'll show you one more, actually two more here. The devil's end is, says there, hell, which is only temporary. He ends up in the lake of fire permanently. So anybody on his side that goes the course of this world goes to the same place that he does. Now, a little bit more on this deception thing with Lucifer. Go to Matthew 25 while you're turning over there. There's a TV show in recent years. You want to guess the name of it? Begins with an L, ends in Lucifer. Called Lucifer. I didn't really know much about this, so I had to search it out. Real popular TV show. So the series focuses on a fella named, you ready for this? Lucifer Morningstar. Now, according to your King James Bible, who's the Morningstar? The Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you won't find Lucifer in your modern translations of the Bible. Bible in quotation marks. So, what's that? And they call him the Morningstar, yes. They call Lucifer the Morningstar. Yeah. You can see, can you not see this spirit at work when it comes to translations of the scriptures even? He's out to deceive. He's out to be subtle. What better way to do it? So the series is about a fellow named Lucifer Morningstar, a handsome and powerful angel who was cast out of heaven for his rebellion. You only get that as far as Lucifer being cast out from a King James Bible. I think the New King James might have Lucifer, and I don't think any of the rest of them do. So, isn't that interesting? So, you ever notice the devil is great at deception because what does he do? He throws some truth in there and mixes it with error. But most people that watch this say, oh, that's just a myth. There was no Lucifer. He wasn't cast out of heaven. But see, if you know your Bible, you know there's some truth to this. Now, here's the rest of it. Now, I'm not saying this is what the devil's doing, but it's just interesting. It says he was cast out of heaven. In the series, Lucifer moves to Los Angeles. Of all places. Now, what'd you say? Yeah, no kidding. It might be. What's Los Angeles mean, Brandon? The angels. Isn't that something? So, Los Angeles, where he runs his own nightclub called Lux, L-U-X. When he finds himself involved in a murder investigation, he meets the intriguing detective, Chloe Decker. After helping the Los Angeles Police Department solve a case by using his power to manipulate humans into revealing their deepest desires, Lucifer accepts a subsequent invitation to work with Chloe as a consultant to the department, and throughout the series, they encounter all sorts of supernatural beings while solving crimes together and developing their relationship. Now, people are fascinated with this series. And they say, oh, isn't that neat? Now, people watch it, and they know it's not real. And they say, this is fantasy, because for some reason, we like this stuff. We're kind of drawn to this fantasy stuff. But if you know your Bible, you know that there's a great deception at work in that type of movie or type of TV show, right? So people watch that, and they say, oh, Lucifer, all that, the whole, that's just made up. That's fantasy. It's not real. The greatest deception that the devil could pull over on people is to make people think that he doesn't exist. He's not real. Therefore, you really don't have to worry about him. Now, you don't have to worry about him if you're saved, but you ought to know some things about him so you can guard against. So, Matthew 25, take a look at this. Where does the devil end up? I've been saying it, but I want to show it to you. I don't want you to take my word for it. Matthew 25, prophecies concerning the prince of this world. This is the judgment of nations. I'm not going to read all this, but you find out in verse 41, you got people on the right, people on the left. And the ones on the right go into the kingdom, and then the ones on the left, look what happens. Verse 41. Then shall he say, Also unto them on the left hand, depart from ye, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now watch this part. Prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Anybody who ends up in hell, you could say they're an intruder. They don't really belong there. Who is it made for? Made for the devil and his angels. I'm not saying they're still not going to go there, because anybody who rejects Jesus Christ, I mentioned that sin of unbelief, that's the place they end up. Real place. Last place here, Revelation 20. Revelation 20. What happens to the devil ultimately? Well, let's get what the Bible says on it. Revelation 20. Verse 1. Revelation 20. Verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. There it is again, huh? Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. And bound him for how long? Now that is the time period of the kingdom, Jesus Christ's kingdom here on earth. So during that 1,000-year period, he's in where? Bottomless pit. That's where he is. But look at verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. All right, go on down there to verse 9. You find out at the end of the 1,000 years, so he's in the bottomless pit, but then, actually back up to verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So he gets out. He shall go out to, what's he do? Folks, I'm telling you, over and over in the Scriptures, Satan's ministry is deception. Here's the thing. People don't realize they're on his course right now, and they're on his course, which leads to hell. So then it says, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And this is going to be a day where all the saved folks cheer like never before. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. How long? Oh, what a day that's going to be, huh? Forever and ever. The end of the prince of this world is the lake of fire. And I showed you from the Scriptures there. So you see how he's got people so blinded and deceived into thinking he doesn't exist, into thinking, that's not really associated with the devil, when there's so many things that he's putting in the world right now that are directly associated with the devil. So I just ask you this as we close here. What is it that you can identify, maybe in the week ahead or maybe this past week, you think on things that are associated with the deception of the devil? He's at work. I tell you, every day we live, he's more at work. You're seeing it more and more. Number one, avoid all those things. Number two, be willing to tell people and warn them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Having been in the business of Christian schools and Christian school kids, you tell Christian school kids certain things about the devil and they laugh at you. There's a girl I had a conversation with several years ago about the Orlando Magic mascot. And she said to me something like this. She said, are you telling me that the Orlando Magic are satanic? And that the mascot is satanic? I said, I don't know. I do know this for certain. The devil has greatly influenced what goes on there with just the naming of the mascots. And I don't know the extent, but I do know that the devil is greatly at work to deceive. So be able to identify that. Be willing to warn folks. And understand, here's the last thing. There's folks that you and I know right now that are on the course of this world. Where does it end up? Lake of fire. We got to make sure we take the time. I don't know how much time we got left. Take the time to tell them. Pray for them that they'll go from darkness to light. And they'll see the truth for what it really is. See Jesus Christ for who he really is. So some things to chew on there tonight. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for how clear we see the world as it really is in the light of the Scriptures. Make us aware of things maybe in our own lives or in the lives of people we know that are just connected with the devil that we need to stay as far away from as possible and warn. And also want to pray for folks we know right now, all of us know
probably a handful of people at the very least that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're asking you right now, remove the blinders so they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and be saved. I pray that you would just do a great work in the hearts and lives of people that we know. I know, probably thinking about folks right now. I've got a couple I'm thinking about. Pray you save them. Open their eyes to the truth. And may they not be deceived anymore by Satan. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.